Dev Room. Our next talk is from Ryan, talking about the black pants are pants for your black hat.
Can you guys hear me? Sweet. How's it going? Yeah, so the black pants are pants for your black hat. So this is me. I'm just a normal guy that makes open source stuff. Primarily open source hardware. I guess a lot of stuff I also do security and pen testing, and then also privacy. So you might remember me from such projects as I built a self-destructing USB drive, or I put a Linux router in a wall charger. Various things I've talked about in the past. Okay, so before I start talking about the black pants, I'm going to talk about the Flipper black hat. So I think most people here probably know what a Flipper Zero is. It's a small wireless device with a cute dolphin on it. I think it's, in my opinion, it's just a nice compact thing that you can carry around. It has all sorts of different radios on it. I mean, I think it's a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Definitely a good educational tool. So a while back, so a while back, I decided that I had one of these little Flipper guys and I wanted to make a module for it. And since I do open hardware, this would obviously be a completely open source thing. So I asked the community, like, what do you guys want? Like, what's cool? And this one guy said a Wi-Fi board that does the current evil portal attack, but also sends the user to the internet, like the Wi-Fi pineapple from Hack 5. So those of you that don't know, an evil portal attack is a phishing attack where you put up a fake Wi-Fi and you try to phish people's credentials. Again, this is all for educational and ethical purposes only, but might as well mention that. And then this person is asking for a specific variant of that where after your target is phished, they get pushed through the internet. So implementing something like this on Linux is super easy. You're basically just doing things with NF tables and networking, and there's even Python packages and tons of kits and stuff you can do this with. But most of the Wi-Fi boards that existed for the Flipper Zero are based on ESP32, which is super cool because they're low power and they boot right away and have a whole bunch of advantages. But implementing something like this on an ESP32 is probably possible, but I don't know. So what's the plan? So are we actually going to put a Linux-enabled SoC on top of a Flipper Zero? Yeah, why not? So I'm just going to use a Raspberry Pi. No, let's roll our own SBC. Cool. So the part I chose was an all-winter A33. It's a little bit long in the tooth now. It's about 10 years old or something like that. All-winter is a Chinese company that creates various parts super cheap for tablets and stuff. There's quite a few members of the Linux Sun C community that come to Fostum, which is the not affiliated with Allwinner, but the people that actually merge the changes into the Linux kernel. So this is the chip I wanted to use. It's a quad core 4A7s, and then it has all kind of the standard stuff. But I mean, for what I'm doing, I'm just interested in the cores. I guess more detailed specs. I don't have to go over all this. But I guess quad core, 1.5 gigahertz, DDR3 controller. So Allwinner makes, the A33 wants, just getting into the details here. The A33 wants 5 voltage rails. And they sell a PMIC where that actually just provides all of this, but I didn't want to use that. I don't know, I guess I'm nervous about it going out of stock. So I chose these TI buck supplies, and each one of these guys needs to come up in a certain sequence. So there's a little capacitor, C8 down there, that's connected to the SS pin so that all these things sequence up with the correct order. For the Wi-Fi radio, I chose a RTL 8723, which I believe was talked about a few talks ago. This does promiscuous mode and all these things that people like for pen testing. This is connected over, I've never used the Bluetooth on it before, but this has, yeah, this is Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. And then Wi-Fi uses the SDIO bus, whilst Bluetooth uses the UART bus. I think Bluetooth should work. I've just never tried it before. Yeah, so I want to add more radios. So I quite like the RTL8821CU, so this is cheap little USB dual band that also, again, yeah, supports monitor mode, promiscuous mode, all these sorts of things. And I just put USB-A ports on the board so users can plug in like whatever USB devices they want. Radios, mice, keyboard, whatever. Yeah, so there's a USB-C port on the board. This just connects to one of these CH340s, which is the USB to UART chip that everyone in the world seems to use. And this, so the way that I wanted to talk to the Flipper Black Hat from the Flipper Zero is over UART, but I also wanted access to the same UART bus, so I basically just ANDed the TX pins, so you can either get data from the Flipper Zero or you can plug into the USB-C and then you get the same thing. And you can also monitor what the Flipper Zero is sending to the device. DSI, so I was never planning to use a screen with this device. Like, I'll get into that later and scope creep and everything. I just threw down an FFC and a backlight boost controller. And I would potentially, if the future holds, put a screen on. So as I mentioned, it's DDR3. So I think this was done a little while ago. Maybe it was KiCad 7 or 8 or something. But at the time, it had trace length matching, which is needed when you want to do high-speed signaling like DDR3. And this worked quite well. Just shout out to KiCad. It's pretty impressive what you can actually build now in some of this shit. So this is the layout for the butt controllers. Yeah, it's basically this times four. That's the actual sock itself. So I was able to get away with a four-layer board. I feel like if you were to fan out more pins, you'd probably need to go for a six-layer potentially. The nice thing about this part is it's a 0.8 millimeter pin pitch, which is like it's either, typically BGAs can also be like 0.65, and when you go to 0.65, you then need micro vias, which is a little bit more expensive. And I mean, Allwinner makes these parts so that the boards can be cheap. Like you see there's missing pins and stuff, like those are intentionally put there so you can get away with cheap boards. So that's the power distribution. We can see basically all the buses there and how they're routed on an internal layer. Assembly, so this is a different project using the same A33, but I just wanted to mention that like you can actually hand assemble these. So there's me in my garage reflowing boards. so again, different project, but yeah, very similar. A33 routed the DDR3 and PMIX and everything. This was actually the wall charger I built a while ago, and I forked this, and then that's how the Flipper Black Hat came about. Mass assembly, yeah, you just pay someone to make them. And yeah, so this is the final device. So this is the Flipper Black Hat. That's pretty much everything I just said. I gave a talk about this device at Y2025, and someone in the audience is like, why do I need the Flipper? And I'm like, you're totally right. This is ridiculous. It's a STM32WB connected to like this giant thing. So the black pants are pants for the black hat. So the idea was we can ditch the Flipper and we can completely replace the Flipper with another device. And then you don't need the Flipper anymore. So anyways, this was received pretty well. People like it. Let's keep going. Some more details. So basically, shout out to BuildRoot. So this is what I first used to get it booting. So if you're not familiar with embedded Linux devices, you need, there's a whole bunch of things you need to bring together to get it to boot. You need a bootloader, you need a kernel, you need user space applications, and the idea is to finally assemble all of these things into one binary that you can then flash to an SD card, plug it in and boot. If you don't want to do that by hand, you can use Buildroot, which is a great project. So I started off with Buildroot, and this worked really well for a while. But the one issue, does anyone have experience with Buildroot? No? Okay. So the one thing is Buildroot doesn't make binary packages. So Buildroot, everything is configured at build time, like when you're building on your host machine. And it's going to do all the dependency resolution and blah, blah, blah. And then it's going to just drop all the files into a file system and give you a final rootfs. But I had customers like, I want to install this thing. I'm like, well, okay, you can like SSH file. It worked well for what it is, but it doesn't really build an OS per se. It's good. It's literally in the name what it does. It builds root file systems. So I recently moved to Armbian, which is a really cool project. So Armbian is, I mean, two different schools of thought, right? So you have Buildroot, where you're constantly recompiling the whole thing and making an extremely lightweight image. Whilst Armbian, a lot of people just grab an image, flash it to their device, and then configure from there. So we have access to Debian packages, and users can just apt-get install, just like you would on Ubuntu or whatever operating system you want. And this worked really well. And I was able to basically take the stuff I did on Buildroot and implement, move device tree files over, and then this just gives me an image and it just booted right away. Super cool. Wow, this presentation is kind of all over the place. Yeah, so I mentioned the SunSea people earlier. So they're the people that basically merge changes into the Linux kernel such that we have like super really good support for basically the all-winter chips. So yeah, thank you to this team. Thanks to them, we have basically the most recent kernel. We're not running some old 5-point-something crust. I guess just a random bit about device tree. So if you're not familiar with device tree, it's basically a structured text file, and this is going to describe your hardware. So I mentioned I had this RTL 8723 Wi-Fi chip earlier. So basically you edit your device tree file and you just nest that right in there, the MMC bus, because as I said, it's connected to the MMC bus. And you basically fire it up and you have a WLAN 0 device. It runs Doom. So that's nice. That's normally the first question I get. This is an application I wrote, so it's basically just a big bash script, and the idea was to drive this application. You can do it manually, but the idea was the Flipper Black Hat would then send these commands to the device to connect to Wi-Fi 15 minutes. Okay, cool. Connection, I got to speed up. So the Flipper, I went over this already. The Flipper will talk to the Black Hat over UART. Flipper app, so this is a small C application that I wrote that actually runs on the Flipper 0. This is merged into the Momentum firmware, so you can basically just grab that, flash it, you'll have the app. And this is going to talk to the Black Hat and run your exploits and run your scripts and configure everything. Script launcher, this is just some additional few things. So there's a way to run Python scripts on the Black Hat from the Flipper 0 itself using this app I was talking about earlier, which is nice because you can run all sorts of whatever you want, basically. Data loader, data thief. So this was a pen testing thing I wrote, basically. So if you're like red teaming a building and you find a USB drive around, you could plug it in and then steal the data off of it onto your device or potentially load malware. I'm not going to talk about that. So there are a few cases that were built by the community. This is the Edgar case. It's called the Edgar case because Edgar made it. And then we decided to go with the screen because everyone was talking about that. I'm like, okay, I guess this is something people want. So now we have a giant screen connected to it. And so that's the Armbian build, and I actually changed the sources list thingy so you can install whatever from Kali. And it runs Debian SID, which is like the most recent unstable distribution, and Kali's a really rolling distro, so this kind of works-ish. So this is what I was talking about earlier. So what's the point of Flipper Zero? I don't think it's necessary anymore. Enter the black pants. So I talked at Y2025 about this device. Was anyone else there? Y2025? Ah, cool. Nice. Someone in the audience asked, well, what's the point of Flipper Zero? And I'm literally like, have my Y2025 badge, and I have my device. I'm like, man, okay, this is fully open source. So basically, I forked this. Can I borrow the design from the Y2025 badge? It's open source, so yes, forky. I removed everything except for the PMIC and the battery charger. The Keeb is a super cool project, so if you know Solder Party, potentially, created, were the first people to do this stuff with the old BlackBerry keyboards, basically reverse engineer the protocol, but then the BlackBerry keyboards ran out, so he ended up developing the keyboard, his own keyboard, and this is basically a membrane, a silicon membrane, and then there's dome switches under, and you just gotta put a certain layout on your PCB, and you have a full working keyboard, basically, which is super cool. Getting into some of the details. So the keyboard controller is an STM32F04 powered by QMK, the open source keyboard firmware project. I don't know what it stands for. Quantum mechanical keyboard, potentially. That's the STM there. And then you can see on the flip side, that's where all the pads would be that the dome switches activate. That should not say powered by QMK. There's a USB 2 hub. I'll talk about that's how that's connected a little bit. Hack number one. So if you notice the MIPI DSI connector, that FFC is totally in the wrong spot, because if we want to put the black hat into the black pants, we then need to like route DSI up and around. So this is like a there's basically the screen will plug into one of these, and this does like a right angle adjustment such that we can have a small FFC jumper. But yeah, nice. So I never designed this thing to be plugged into anything other than the Flipper Zero, so we had to get creative. Hack number two, USB contacts. So I needed to connect the keyboard to the USB port. And then I have this USB hub that I also need to connect to that. So on this side, we see some spring contacts. It's really hard to see, sorry. But it's okay. You can laugh. This is supposed to be funny. These spring contacts, which are meant for like a fucking RF shield or some shit, basically make contact to the... And it actually works pretty well. Here you can see the... Can you see my pointer? Oh, yeah, cool. You can see the FFC hack where there's just a small jumper that goes to the board 10 minutes. Yeah, we're good. Hack number three, the holder downer. So it needed something to hold it down. So basically built this little plastic thing that pushes the PCB down and makes contact with the USB, those spring contacts. So that's the final assembly. So there's basically, you can see what it is, but it's a front panel, and then the keyb goes in, and the screen goes behind, and then this keyboard, or the PCB is sandwiched in the middle, and then there's a back casing, which is going to cover up your 18650 and kind of roll it into the final device, and you basically just plug your black hat into your black pants, and you have a fully functioning handheld Linux device. Here's some of the glamour shots. You might have seen some of these posted on Reddit or various other social media things. That's it running Routersploit, which is a pen testing kit for embedded or like IoT stuff. Because as we all know, the S in IoT stands for security. So, so that's the final device. And here's the glow up from the board that plugs into the Flipper Zero throughout the cases, and then the final device. I wanted to thank the KiCad team, Linux Unsee community, GNU Linux, Y2025 badge team, Flipper Black Hat supporters, Edgar for making the case, Solder Party, and you guys for watching. I think that's it. That's the last slide. So I think I'm early.
Questions? Cowards.
What's the sort of build cost for it?
So, yeah, it really depends how you do it. I get the, the whole thing's, the mechanical and everything, it's all open source. So it's possible to 3D print the parts and then hand assemble the Black Pants board. But I think if you go into a shop to get the boards done, you're looking at a BOM cost of maybe $40. Yeah, in components and then plus the assembly cost and type of thing. So something like that.
Going once?
Great talk, thank you. Just leading on from that last question is anybody planning to sort of make them? Or is that acceptable under the license also?
Yeah, for sure. So anyone's welcome to make them. I make them, so there's me. and I have a small shop where I sell some of this stuff as well. But yeah, I haven't found anyone in the wild that's made their own yet. Hopefully soon there's a few people. Yeah.
This device looks really cool.
Thanks.
What's that screen? Where can I buy that screen?
So that screen is a 480 by 480 TFT screen. I have a few of them in my shop, so it's possible to buy from me. Or if you look around on AliExpress, you should be able to find them. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Actually, if somebody on the front row could grow next.
All right. So there was a slide somewhere in there where it said something like pay a manufacturer to populate your board.
Uh-huh.
So I just want to hear your experiences that made that slide.
I don't sell a lot of hardware. But if I was to actually hand assemble these boards to sell, that would be basically a full-time job. Yeah.
So no pitfalls with manufacturing in your own shop or anything? It's an all-winner chip. It's pretty, and all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Is it difficult?
Well, normally you build five, and you turn on one, and that one catches on fire, and then you should have one that works type of thing. But the most complex board to hand assemble, but we are talking about a BGA package with 200 and something pins. So it's just the probability of something shorting or something going awry is quite high. It is possible. There's a very good blog, a person named Jay Carlton, and he made a blog that was called So You Want to Build an Embedded Linux Device. And it's super good. He made five or six different boards, all with socks and RAM and stuff like this. And that was the original thing that motivated me. And he talked in this tone that said, there's a lot of, professionals out there that say, every time I tell a professional, someone that I work with, that I hand-populated a 250-pin BGA package, they don't even believe me. And I'm like, no, it's actually not that bad. You can just do it. And this Jay Carlson person spoke to that same narrative that personally motivated me to pursue this thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Clement? Anybody else in the front row? You may as well.
Somebody right in the middle.
Or in the middle? Middle, Leo? All right. Thanks, Ryan. Our next talk starts at 1 o'clock.